In the bodybuilding show that is geopolitics, China has been putting on a fine performance in the economic category. But more than anything, the Chinese are eager to flex their military muscles. So today, in a new defense white paper, the Middle Kingdom put the world on notice. Beijing will continue to modernize its military, and it wants its neighbors to treat it like the world military power it will soon be. Charles Burton is a China specialist and a professor of political science at Brock University. He is in St. Catharines, Ontario.
Hello, Professor Burton.
Hi.
Let's talk about this defense paper. What are we here in the West to make of the Chinese statements within the paper?
Well, you know, the paper is a political document designed to reassure, I guess, the West on the one hand that China doesn't present an imminent threat, and on the other hand to tell the neighbors that China is becoming a power to be reckoned with, and therefore the neighbors should preferably get into line with the Chinese new orbit.
It's generally seen that the document is for external consumption for an international audience?
Well, I think certainly it's very important for the Chinese Communist Party to tell the people of China that under their leadership, China is rising to regain a position of great power and authority in the world. So the basis of the party's legitimacy and the basis for the continuing support of the people is that the Chinese Party should, Communist Party should continue to deliver improving living standards for the people, and even perhaps more importantly, that it should be serving China's nationalistic aspirations, which is to redress the humiliations of the past and to restore China to what Chinese people regard as its rightful position as a dominant civilization and a dominant power in the world, and certainly the dominant power in the region.
I think the economic domination in the region is evident, or at least the growing economics are evident. But what about the military? How does the Chinese government intend to project those abilities?
Well, they see it as a comprehensive rise. So the political and economic and the military are considered by the Chinese to be working in harmony. And certainly in terms of the military, China wants to develop a more sophisticated military technology that can effectively challenge the United States in the years ahead. And, you know, there are concerns in China about American and Japanese cooperation, the anti-missile programs that the Americans and Japanese are undertaking ostensibly to counter the challenge of the North Korean nuclear threat, that China also sees as potentially working to counter the Chinese attempt to bring Taiwan back into what they call the embrace of the motherland, in other words, to make Taiwan a province of China again. And so there are all sorts of complicated things that are going on there,
mm-hmm.
and China plans to counter them through high-tech, sophisticated, world-leading, innovative military means.
Do you think China feels threatened by those developments to some degree, or that they just feel, in terms of saving face and showing their presence, that they have to assert some of these things?
Well, I think China feels that the United States is constraining its natural rise to power in the region. I think that China feels that the Japanese should be a power which is subsidiary to the Chinese sphere of influence, and the Japanese don't agree, and the United States is helping the Japanese to maintain their independence from China. And then also China feels deeply concerned about the U.S. defense of Taiwan. But that being said, the Chinese feel, whether it's right or wrong is debatable, that the United States is a declining power, that it's overextended in military adventures abroad, that it has too high a debt load, and that inevitably the United States authority in the world will decline, and China will be able to rise to meet the vacuum that that decline of U.S. Power projection abroad brings about.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the reaction to this document, particularly in the region. I guess we can presume that the U.S. disagrees with the Chinese assessment of its own capabilities, but what kind of political reaction are we seeing, or do you expect to see in Taiwan, in Japan, and I guess to some degree North Korea, though that will be less obvious?
Well, I think that, you know, certainly the Taiwanese have been of two minds with regard to the proper response. Recently, their parliament voted down a defense purchase bill because the nationalists feel that Taiwan strengthening itself military will only provoke an arms race that Taiwan cannot win. Certainly in Japan, the Japanese on the one hand claim that they have no external military aspirations, but on the other hand, they're gradually building up more and more of an external capability. And certainly South Korea, I think, is uncomfortable with its relationship with the United States and would see the prospects of reunification with North Korea improved if the United States was not so dominant in their defense and that they had more closer relationship with China. And I think in Southeast Asia, there's generally concern that China's rise could lead to bad news for these states and that they would become, in effect, colonies feeding the great Chinese economic engine.
So India must be looking with interest in all of this.
Well, India would look at with a lot of interest because, India and China may have a competitive kind of relationship in the years ahead. And there's a terrific amount of suspicion between India and China over intentions, and for that matter, between China and Russia.
Mm. You said earlier that the document is less than open about China's own capabilities. You do say that they acknowledge that they have ambitions. How much new information is there, both in this document and I guess even out there generally from analysts, on what China's capability is right now, how much they're actually putting into the growth of their military machine?
Well, China in the document claims about $35 billion a year of military expenditure, and that they've been increasing their military expenditure in double digits since 1990. That's certainly true. $35 billion figure is considered by pretty much everybody as a gross underestimation, probably doesn't take into account equipment purchases. And they have different sorts of strategies. You know, China doesn't have an aircraft carrier, but perhaps in time of war they would be able to do other things like cut off the internet or, you know, these kinds of high-tech ways of addressing war. So they have the advantage of being a newly emerging power that can adopt the latest military strategies and technologies based on modern conditions.
Professor Britton, thank you very much for sharing your insights with us.
It's great to talk to you.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Charles Burton is a China specialist and a professor of political science at Brock University. He is in St. Catharines, Ontario.